Thank you, Kelsey. Well, and here's Fernando. Hi, buddy. How you doing?
Good, man.
Good, good. Now, Fernando's up here because several weeks ago, we had a membership class, and we had people join the membership, you know, and that was really great. And I said to them all, I said, hey, I'm going to introduce you in the church service. And I have forgotten ever since, every Sunday. So this is Fernando making sure that we don't forget that he joined the church, and he wants you to know that. So welcome for Fernando. All right, buddy. Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Now, there were some other people, too. Let's see. Ben Franzen joined that day. Let's see, who else? John Chakravarti. I love saying his name. Shane and Katie. Shane and Katie, there you are. Okay. There they are. Welcome them to the church. Praise God. Thank you, Fernando. You're awesome. That's great. He's just going to take it into his own hands. He's like, this guy's going to just keep rolling again, just like every Sunday, and here he comes. But yes, bless you, brother. You're awesome. All right, and that's exciting. And yes, men's ministry. We yesterday heard a testimony that was so moving and powerful, and it was just one of the guys. And Miguel, hey, gotcha, buddy. How's your daughter doing? Is she better today? Praise God. All right. We prayed for Miguel's daughter yesterday. But the testimony was just so so beautiful and so powerful. I don't know if there was a dry eye in the room, you know, during that, because of what Jesus did, because of what God did. And that's what testimonies do, right? I want to reiterate what you were saying, Kelsey, about the parking lot being full. And just what God's doing there. And so, just thanks to the guys who are a part of that, and thanks to everybody. Church is so cool. Oh, by the way, I got almost 35 years ago, a kid wandered in here from Bradley University to have a meal, you know, with us, because we did meals Sunday night because the dorms didn't serve meals on Sunday nights, so we did them here, and we had a group, and Chris is sitting back there. And Chris, welcome. Thank you for being here today. Yeah. That's been almost 35 years, right, buddy? Yeah. And he was telling me, because I still remember you as like this, you know, this young Bradley student, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, my daughter's getting married, my son's graduating from high school. I'm going, what? What happened? He's been here since then, though. You used to come almost every year, didn't you? Almost, yeah. He'd come back. He lives in Iowa, and he'd come back here to Peoria about once a year. But that's just so awesome to see something that we're, you know, a ministry that we did and a relationship that was built. And 35 years later, here's Chris. You're just wanting to be a part of our gathering here today. And I love church. I love what we do. I love the whole concept of community and everything we're doing here today. And just, I love seeing you guys, and I just love being a part of this. And as I was preparing today, back up a second, and I'll get back to as I was preparing today. But to back up a second, next week we're going to go back to Matthew and continue our walk through Matthew through the scriptures. But we did it differently because we did the weeks about eldership and leadership. And so today is the ending of that. But next week we go back to Matthew, and which is awesome. I'm excited about that as well because, you know, we're right in the middle of a story. And we need to find out what happened, right? I mean, we got this guy doing all these crazy teachings and people are reacting, you know, and they think he's the Son of God, but we're not sure what's going to happen. So we're going to get back to that next week and see how this series ends. Today I wanted to focus yet again on the church as we are looking at putting together an elder team for Bradley Epworth. And what is going to happen is that the nominations are going to be looked at, counted, and brought to the search team. And then the search team is going to make a recommendation to church council next Sunday. There's going to be a church council meeting. And the church council will decide where to, you know, like we have a sliding thing. Like there's either going to be three, four, five, six, seven elders. We don't know. Basically just waiting to see if there's like a whole lot of votes. And then it drops off, you know, suddenly. Then it would be like, okay, there's a mark, and see if we go by that. Pray about it and see if that's what the Lord wants to do. And then we're going to bring those to you 2 weeks from today. Bring those names, and we're going to pray about those people and give us some time in case anybody has a reservation or a reason why that person may not be ready or fit to be an elder at this time. And we want to give time for that, and so we want to give time to process that. If someone does, we have to process that. Okay, is that legitimate? Is that, you know, real? Is that, you know, or what's the best way to work with that? So we'll take some time here because we want to get it right as much as we can. Those of us who see through glass dimly are still trying to, you know, get it right. So that's what's happening with our elder process. And so keep that in your prayers. And if you haven't turned that in, please do that. All right, so as I was preparing this message and I was talking to Jesus about it, and I just said, Jesus, I got some ideas here, but what would you say? what are you saying about this? And I just felt the Lord say, tell them that church is my idea. Church was my idea. I thought this up. I constructed this. I put this together. This isn't a work of man that you should wonder about being connected to and a part of. This is a work of God going all the way back to Genesis, which we talked about last week, in terms of the Trinity being an eternal community, a community that had no beginning and has no end. It's a community that God himself is. He is community. And so when he looks at us as people, there is going to be that, and creates us in his image and likeness, he's going to create us in the image and likeness of community. And he's going to put in us and write in us and embed in our souls a desire for and a fulfillment in and a contentment with joining in community. And that means joining into other people's lives in a complementary way, that everybody's gifts affect everybody else's gifts, and the gifts together form something that none of us as individuals could ever do. You know, the sum is greater than the whole of its parts, right? Or the end is greater than the sum of its parts. Is that right? I don't know. Anyway, you guys know what I mean. And it's like all of our parts put together, if we added all those up, it's not as much as what actually happens when we come together. There's something greater there. And in the church, that is spiritual. In the church, that is divine. In the church, it is the presence of God. And so as God, you know, constructed this whole thing of creation and his people, and he talked about the resting on the seventh day and then gave the instruction, keep holy the Sabbath, right? On the seventh day, God rested, and he gave that instruction to his people, and he said, keep it holy, meaning don't let it get compromised with all sorts of other things. Keep it focused on me. And we think, man, how do you give up a whole day to God? I mean, then that's why God had to make it so strict. He made it really strict, right? And there was all sorts of things you could not do, and a whole list of could nots, and it's like, okay, that's how we're going to do it to keep it holy. What do you do today? How do you keep the Sabbath holy? And, you know, we have church every 7 days. What is there about every 7 days? Did God really think, like when he created us, we had, like, six-day batteries that would, you know, need to be recharged, right? Or, you know, it's like right? I think so. I think we have six-day batteries, the spiritual batteries. And, they, you know, you can tell Friday nights, people are starting to drag. Saturday nights are oftentimes not good nights. And Sundays, you plug it in, you get recharged again. But I think God knows and created us in such a way. Now listen to this. He created us in such a way that not only would we need one another, but we would need frequency of connection and coming back together. That we would need, we really, as human beings, as creations of God, in his image and likeness, with all the weaknesses that we have, we need to keep coming back again and again and again. And every 7 days is what God distinguished as the point at which it would be most beneficial to all of us, and not just to me personally, but for what I give to the group as it gathers. Okay, so it isn't just, we're not just talking about what do you need to charge your battery, but what do you give to help the other batteries get charged? Because it's all of us together, working together. And so God says, come together. And then Jesus ups the whole game just crazy when he's praying on the last night of his life. And he says, keep them one. I'm praying that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us. And so Jesus, and I shared this last week, Jesus is saying to us, he's inviting us into the fellowship of the Trinity. He's inviting us into the community of God. And he wants us to be one with him just as he and the Father are one. This is amazing, you guys. This is amazing. This is an amazing relationship that we're being invited into. And Jesus is interceding for us to keep us in that place. And then when we turn to Ephesians, we read this. Okay, as a prisoner for the Lord, this is 4:1 of Ephesians, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received, which is what? To become one with Jesus and one with the Father. Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bear with one another in love. See, there are 100 times when one another is mentioned in the New Testament. 59 of those 100 times have to do with our personal interactions. What is the message of the New Testament? When you extract from it the fact that 59 times it's instructions on how we interact with one another. It's about community. It's about who we are as a community and how we live out our faith and how we live out our love for him. Do you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? Well, I'll see that if you love your neighbor as yourself. I'll see that. But if you say you love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength and don't love your neighbor as yourself, you missed it. Something's off, and you need to go back and check your love for God. And the one another's in the New Testament are continually pointing us toward community and how we live out our love of God through how we live out our love of one another. And so it says, be patient with each other, put up with one another in love, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Because there's only one body, there's only one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. I want to come back to that in a minute. The grace that God has portioned out to us as how it shapes and forms the community that we're in. But for Jesus, when he was on this earth, he developed his own community with his disciples, right? They lived with him, they walked with him, they taught with him, they did everything. He formed a little community as an example and a way of showing us that this is God's heart. It's to bring together, it's to live together. And when he left, he said, stay together, stay together, stay in Jerusalem. Don't go out anywhere else. Don't go back to fishing, Peter. I think he was looking at Peter, you know, when he said, stay together. And, you know, it's like, stay together, be a community, wait and wait and wait until you're there. And they all were together in the upper room. And in Acts, the Holy Spirit came down, empowered them. What is the first thing after the Holy Spirit comes and 3,000 people gave their lives to Jesus and were added to the number that day? And the next verse is they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship. They devoted themselves to fellowship. The first reaction of the Holy Spirit coming and filling people's hearts is to come together in community so that we can be more than just ourselves. So that we can humble ourselves and say that I need you. I need you. I need your gifts. I need your gifts. I don't have those gifts. And there probably and may be something in me that you need as well. And as we begin to share that with each other, we're building something. We're building something for God. It's beautiful, and we're going to come back to that in Ephesians 4. So, Acts chapter 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of the bread, which we're going to do together in a minute, and to prayer. Praise God. In John 13:34, let's look at that really quickly. And you might know what that is already just by the reference. And that is to what God's heart is. A new command I give you, love one another. Do you see what's happening here? A new command I give you, and it's all about you and others. Right? It all boils down to this. It all boils down to this, he says. How you are interacting with other people. This is the basis of Christianity. This is the basis of God, the Trinity, the community. This is the basis of the Sinai covenant to keep the Sabbath holy and to keep gathering together and to keep this thing going. I give you a new command. Love one another just the way I loved you, which was not a soft and cozy, good-feeling love. It was a self-sacrificial, I'm going to die for you kind of love. It's costly. And that's what makes it genuine love. Love one another as I have loved you. That's how you have to love one another. And by this, all people will know that you're my disciples. If you love me. It's not how they're going to know. You may love him, but that's not what he's saying. He's not saying this is how they'll know. They'll know by how you love each other. Then they'll know. Then they'll see something. Then God will have something going on the earth in a community of people that can't be replicated in any other kind of group, that can't be experienced in any other kind of way. It'll be unique because it'll be God. And that's what he is pointing at when we get to Ephesians. And he's saying, about church. Again, church is God's idea. But listen to this in Ephesians. This is beautiful. I could just go off on, oh boy, I'll tell you what. Ephesians 1, starting with 15, you guys. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. Do you hear that? And your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. These are people who love Jesus. These are people who are willing to die or be kicked out of the synagogues or whatever happens to them, they're in. And he's saying, I'm praying that you can know him even better. Why? Because to know him is to love him. Come on, right? It's like the more you know of this man, the more you will love him. And the more you love him, the more you will realize how important it is to love one another and have the ability to do so. And the more you love him, you will love his bride. It happens, guys. It really does happen. The more you love him, the more you will love his bride. How can you not? How can you love someone but not their bride? I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. You guys, if we knew really what God has called us to, the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints, we would not be sitting here like this. We would be jumping up and down and going crazy right now. We would. We would. Agalia! Oh, thank you, David. I'm going to start jumping. Yeah. I was going to grab a flag this morning because my wife and my granddaughter were there and they were doing it. And it's, everything's like a family thing. But I was thinking, okay, I had a resistance to do so. I thought, okay, God, show me what this resistance is. I thought, let me just stand for a moment here and ask the Holy Spirit, why am I resistant to that? Right? Just kind of check it out. It's like, well, I kind of feel funny about it. I feel like people might look at me and say, he's not even keeping beat to the music. This is going down. He's out here. He's like, oh, take the old man out. Okay. But it was like, people might look at me, right? All that kind of stuff. And you just feel this resistance. And it's like, is that pride? Is that pride of what people think? Pretty much Jesus was kind of like, yeah. Yeah, and so I thought, okay, I'm not, and then it was kind of like, so Jesus, I think I'll just stay here and pray, and so, so I lifted up my hands, and I was focusing on the words, and it was really good, and I was really connecting with him. I thought, well, I can connect better like this, And I felt like the Holy Spirit was like, yeah, don't do the flag if the only thing you're going to be thinking about the whole time is what other people are thinking about you. So that's not connecting with me. That's not going to help you at all. You know, just stay in your seat, Tom, and connect with me and make sure you get with me. And when you can do it without self-consciousness, then he said, then I want you to come and do that for me. Okay, that was a little, that was just extra. I threw that in there. No extra charge or anything. It's just like, yeah. That was just fresh right off the experience chart. So, I'm not done. This is so incredible. I pray also that, okay, in the riches of the glorious inheritance in the saints, we'll all be doing flags and not caring. Because we won't care what anybody thinks, because we're going to see the glorious inheritance. And we're going, oh my gosh, this is so beautiful. This is so crazy. How did this happen? And it's incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Can you feel that? That just, oh, that God was like, God, my son has just died. He's the atoning sacrifice. I accept it. It's done. Their sins are forgiven. Yeah. And that power is in us, incomparably great power for those who believe. The power like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Listen to this. Far above every rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title, everything, title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church. For the church, his idea, his community, the gathering of his people, us here today, right? And he did that, and he did that. He's like, which, listen to this. This is so important. This is a turning place for the church, which is his body. Now, we just upped it, didn't we? Because now we're not saying his bride. Now we're saying his body. If you love him, you will love his body. This, dear friends, is the body that God has brought you to and by his grace has asked you to plug into. And there is a love in my heart for the picture that I see right now. Looking all the way over from Chad, all the way over. Daryl's just slightly right of you, hon. So if I said you, he'd be out of the picture. And I don't want to do that. We won, Daryl. Yeah. But it's a picture of something that God loves, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. I was going to count the superlatives that are in here. It's like there's too many. But because Paul and the Holy Spirit are going ballistic about how beautiful Jesus is and how beautiful Jesus is in his body, and he fills everything in every way. So that's why when we go back over to Ephesians 4 and we read what it says, okay, no, I'm going to go to Ephesians 2:19. Consequently, listen to this, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus Christ himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Now, this is so important because his body and the building that we're being built together in that houses his Spirit is what the church is and what the world needs. There is a desperation that is growing daily for the presence of God and the reality of God and the truth of God. Because there is coming a day, and that day is approaching, when truth is so overlapping and converted and convoluted that it's going to be hard for anyone to sort it out. But there will be one truth that will stand, and it's one that stood for 2,000 years, and it's the Bible. It's 4,000 years, whatever. It's the right. It's the Bible. It's the Word of God. It is God. And it's going to have to be the presence of God. Because without the presence of God, we don't have something that actually causes all the falsehood to look false. You have to have a light to know that these things are dark. And so we have to have a light that shines so beautifully and so purely, the truth of God, the love of God, and the reality of God, and the presence of God, that the world will be able to have a chance to see what that is. And God provides for this building of this church by portions of grace. And it was where I said I wanted to come back to in Ephesians, and it's verse 7, which says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it." Meaning that grace has been portioned out to each one of us. Now, note what this says. It's different because he's going to give different grace because they're portions. You get this portion, you get this portion, you get this portion. We don't say, why did I get this portion of this grace? And then they got that portion of that grace. It's like, this is your portion. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, right? But he gives it, and he gives it for a purpose, and he gives it for a reason. And the portions of grace being distributed among the body, as he describes it here, he says it was Jesus who gave a portion of grace to some to be apostles. He gave a portion of grace to some to be prophets. He gave a portion of grace to some to be evangelists. We think of Billy Graham. He had a portion of grace to do that, didn't he? We think of, Billy Graham went all over the world and was greatly respected. In millions of people, you know, attended his crusades and gave their lives to Jesus. Well, how did Billy Graham do that? Because Jesus had portioned out a grace for him. He said, I'm going to give you a portion of the grace that is there, and I expect you to use it. Now the portion of grace that the person who led Billy Graham to the Lord, right, was a different portion of grace. They were a different, but who is the greater person? No, it's not like that. Billy used his portion, and this person used their portion, and Billy Graham's wife, who stayed at home with the kids, had a portion of grace for her, right? And she may have been more faithful with her portion than Billy was with his. Does that make sense? The portion of grace that you give is what God's expecting you to use. And we don't, and it's in the church and in the community as we pray for one another, as we minister to one another, that we discover what those things are. Because listen to this. And some were given grace, a portion of grace to be pastors, shepherds, and some had a portion of grace to be teachers. All for a reason. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. It's what we want. But it only happens. So as we move into a structure of elders, this is really important. That it's not like, well, Pastor Tom did the ministry, right? And now we're going to have elders doing the ministry. We're going to have 5 or 6 or 7 or 22. I don't know. But it's like, well, why not? What? More the merrier. But it's like, okay, now they do the ministry. And there's more of them. No, that's not what any of this is for. All this is for, all of this leadership that I just read, and the elders, because I think that the teacher, pastor teachers, and all of them, well, the apostles, they were elders. Peter was an apostle, right? But he wrote in his letter, as a fellow elder, I say to you. So, he's also considers himself an elder. But it's just leadership in the church, okay? Leadership in the church is meant to serve you, us, all of us, discovering our giftings and using those giftings for the sake of the glory of God. The point isn't we put more people in positions to do the ministry. No, we put more people so that we can get everyone and into the place of releasing that ministry in them. There are gifts sitting here. I was listening to Susie when she was praying this morning, right? At the end of worship. Did you hear Susie? Did you know that was her? Yeah. But I stopped to listen because I was thinking, what's she saying? Because she got a little portion of grace this morning to speak out at the end of worship, and that was a gift for all of us. And if we could tune in and hear it, we would be blessed. And that's the way God wants the church to work. He wants to drop things on people all the time, all through, so that we will begin to release the aroma of Christ. And that the people will come and experience and say, wow, you know, when that one lady was singing after worship, I thought, what, doesn't she know the song's over? But what she was saying really touched my heart. And that may be the one thing that somebody takes away from here today. Right? So we want to, so the elders are not here to do the ministry. The elders are here to serve you, discovering your ministry, and help you move in that and live in that and be released in that. It's how everybody helps everybody else. And the leaders are only here to serve, and their point and their purpose is to release the people of God for the glory and the works of God. And we look through here and we start saying, well, gosh, what are those things, man? What's God calling us to? And we read them, and in Romans it says, you know, we have different gifts, each according to the grace that was given to us. That's what I'm saying, isn't it? Romans 12, verse 6. We have different gifts, you guys, all according to the gift, the grace that was distributed to us. And if a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it's serving, let him serve. If it's teaching, let him teach. If it's encouraging, let him encourage. If it's contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it's leadership, let him govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do that cheerfully. In Corinthians, we go into another whole list of gifts in the body, and it's like, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's the gift of the Spirit of the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing, miraculous powers. Another one, prophesying, distinguishing between spirits, speaking in tongues, and interpreting tongues. All of those things have been given to the church for everyone to discover and release and bless everyone else with. All in different measures. And Paul talks about these. Is everybody an apostle? Does everybody work? You know, no. But some of us have some of those. And together we make this happen. And the whole point of elder-run church is to have more leaders releasing more people and helping to release the gifts that will create the atmosphere of the aroma and the presence of God. Pastor elders are only going to be here by grace to minister to those who do the ministry. Does that make sense? And I have a picture. I have a picture of what that looks like, and I'm just, Lord, this is a cool picture. The picture is when we come to church on Sunday morning, right? We come early because we may be able to just, I might see Barb, and I might say, hey, Barb, how you doing? She, well, you know, I got this and that. Oh, let's pray for that right now. So, you know, I think I see a church while Glenn's up there trying to figure out what song he's going to do today. And the tech booth is struggling with no live stream and all of these things. So there's pockets of people praying with each other. Ah, good morning, how you doing? And the answer determines whether or not you say, hey, well, let's pray for that right now. Or someone might have a word for somebody. They might say, you know what? I really feel the Lord saying this. As soon as you walked in, I just felt like the Lord was saying this, and I wanted to share that with you. I knew a lady who went to Times Square Church in New York, David Wilkerson. I don't know if that rings a bell with anybody, but she went there. She was from the Apostolic Christian tradition, and she'd never been to any other church like this, but this was a crazy church, and people were doing all sorts of things in the power of the Holy Spirit, and someone came up to her and said, hey, I have a word for you. And she said, what's that? And they gave her a prophecy. And it was like just touching her heart just to the core, like boom. And it's like, that's what I imagine, that if we have the leadership team that will help bring this forth, we're going to start seeing that kind of stuff so that the manifest presence of God, people back there in the room praying, we hear them praying, we see smoke coming out under the door and fire shooting out through the windows, and we're going on. But when someone who's new comes into that atmosphere, it's like, what is going on here? And if it's real, we can't hype anything and we can't pretend anything, because that you smell that aroma too. But when it's real, it just is beautiful. Because it's God. It's all here, you guys. Again, this wasn't my idea. I'm not the one putting this together. I'm not the one saying this is what church should be. I'm just saying that this is what I'm reading in the book, and the book's telling me that these are the gifts that are available, and the reason we have leadership structure is to release these gifts through the people who are in the church. Because we're all, nobody got a, there's no junior portion of the Holy Spirit. You got the full thing. Now, we pray for strengthening, we pray for filling, we pray for, you know, more, and we just, you know, because just like Paul was praying, you know, for their hearts to be enlightened and for them to know God better and all those kinds of things. But I just see that, I see that as a place where we go into worship and all of our children are up here and it's so cool and I love it. The men's group is, you know, meeting every other Saturday and there's fire in that place and testimonies coming forth. We should have a baptism every Sunday. Right? Just let's do a baptism every Sunday. Who's next Sunday? Who wants to do that? Just keep us going. And just the prayers and, you know, just stopping in the service and praying and just the teaching, you know, is done anointed, digging in. Like, I love that we're going back to Matthew because that's Jesus. And it's like, what's better than that? I just want to know more about this man. And worship. Worship that comes, you know, listen, you guys. Worship is our opportunity to praise God before we've actually seen him. We're praising him for how wonderful he is and how glorious he is, and we've never seen him. Peter was in awe of that. He writes in 1 Peter, he says, you never met him like I did. I met him. I was on the holy mountain with him. I saw him dead. I saw him alive again. You haven't, and yet you love him still. I think the angels are in awe of that. Angels see God all the time. They're not wondering if he's, you know, they're not wondering if he's real. And they're looking down at us. Seriously, you guys. They're looking down at us and saying, how do you do that? What's keeping you believing in him? And that's when we come together for worship. We come together for worship. Listen, you guys, in heaven, we will see his glory and we will praise him. We will be unhinged. Okay? After we pick ourselves up from the ground. Or whatever the thing is that hits us. But now, on Sunday mornings, when we come together corporately, we can praise him before we've seen the glory. We can praise him for the glory. And we will lose this opportunity. We will lose it. I mean, heaven's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. That's where we're headed for. But we have an opportunity to sing the song of the redeemed. Is there a sweeter sound in the heavenly realms than the song of the redeemed singing their praise to the God they've never met that they believe in? Okay. I'm trying to eliminate my stories, but there's one I've got to tell you. It was the Today Show, 50th anniversary of World War II, storming the beach in Normandy. And Tom Brokaw was interviewing this guy who was there on the beach. And this guy says, I got cut down. The machine gun fire, we got onto the beach. The machine gun fire cut me down right away, and I was just laying there. And another soldier came and threw himself over me. And that soldier died. And this man, obviously, was injured, but was healed. And he sat there, and tears started coming down his face. And he goes, I owe that man everything. And I thought, that's us. That's us. And that's Jesus who came and threw himself over us, knowing that he would die. And now we live. So can you imagine? Can you imagine that, how that man, this was an old man who all of his life says, I owe him everything. How much more that the life that was saved is eternal. that Jesus did for us. So when we come together to worship, you guys, when we come together to worship, that's who we're worshiping. The guy who came and laid over us and died, so and we are living, and we owe him everything. It's like, praise him then. Praise him then. Pick up a flag and wave it, right? Get over yourself and just do something because he's worthy. He is worthy. He is worthy. And that's what we come together to celebrate. That's what we come to remember. That's that we've all had the same guy do that for us, right? And so it's like we're all here looking at each other and going like, you too, huh? Yeah, you too, right? Yeah, yeah, him, me too. He did it for me too. And when we come together, the first strum of Glenn's guitar should cause us all to go whacked out. Like we just, right? Like, he's worthy. And that is the picture that I see of a group of people who have just crazy joy that's real, not hyped, not pretend, this joy because we know him better and we know who he is and we've come to know him. And we, and we as a community, it flows over into our lives and loving one another. And as Chad said a couple weeks ago, being in each other's homes. Where our relationship isn't just, well, we just meet in public. we just meet in public. But we will actually step across thresholds and see each other for how we are and just love each other and receive each other for how we are. I just see a beautiful community coming forth. And I think it's what God is leading us to. So as we conclude here today, let's turn to this chalice and bread and remember, because Jesus said, you know, whenever you come together, remember me, right? Glenn, you can come up, yeah. I want you to remember me. So Jesus, right now, we take the bread and we remember you. Come on, everybody. Remember him. Just like the guy that was sitting there talking to Tom Brokaw, he's remembering when he was asked what happened. He was remembering the man who died for him. And he sat there in tears and said, yeah, I owe him everything. So right now, can we do that? Jesus said, remember me. When you come together, gather around the table of bread and cup and remember me. That we were face down in the mud of our sin and pride and rebellion. And a man who was perfect came and took the bullets for us so that we could walk away. Jesus said to his disciples, take and eat of this, all of you. This is my body, which was broken for you. Take and eat of this, all of you. Took the cup, gave thanks, gave the cup to his disciples and said, take and drink from this, all of you, for this is the cup of the new agreement, the new covenant between God and man. In my blood, which will be shed to cleanse you and wipe away your sins.